Wallace and Gromit and the Curse of the Were-Rabbit was the number one movie at the box office last week, and a triumph for its directors, Nick Park and Steve Box. But that good cheer was dampened by that warehouse fire. Critic David Edelstein mourns the loss, but celebrates the success of Wallace and Gromit and the Curse of the Were-Rabbit.
The news that the animator Nick Park had lost a warehouse of models to fire is especially upsetting, because these models, the chickens of Chicken Run, some Wallace and Gromit figures, they're more than mere cartoon characters. They're puppets brought to soulful life by claymation, frame by loving frame, in the old manner of pose the figure and shoot and move it a wee bit and shoot, and you can sometimes see the finger marks and feel the life force of their caretakers. There's something else that's old-fashioned about dear, enterprising Wallace and his much smarter, silent dog Gromit, who live together like an old married couple. They strike me as the summit, the apotheosis of those New Yorker magazine squibs that used to appear under the rubric, "There'll Always Be an England." These excerpts from British papers were hilarious reminders of the blinkered aristocracy of P.G. Woodhouse, but they also evoked the ordinary middle-class folks living in a sort of hermetically sealed bubble of genteel repression. The England of Wallace and Gromit is the England of row house backyard gardens under low gray skies and obliviously proper gardeners busy cultivating vegetables for county competitions. It's an England stuck in the 50s that never much concerned itself with the sunset of an empire. For this England, the more urgent problem is rabbits. Which brings us to Wallace and Gromit, The Curse of the Were-Rabbit, an absolutely magical fusion of horror and deadpan English comedy, the kind the Ealing Studios made in the 50s. The pair now run a pest control outfit called Anti-Pesto that humanely dispatches the beasts who threaten potentially prize-winning carrots, pumpkins, and so on. The way that Wallace is whisked out of bed would make Rube Goldberg gasp with delight. And even more enchanting is the rabbit vacuum cleaner that deposits the creatures in a glass jar where they spin around with apparent glee. Thanks to his non-lethal ways, Wallace has even managed to endear himself to an aristocratic sock puppet beauty with red hair sticking out at right angles from her head like a pair of sausages. Alas, Wallace isn't content with giving hundreds of rabbits a home in his basement. He wants to reform them. He wants to brainwash them in a fantastical brainwashing machine into swearing off vegetables altogether.
The solution to all our storage problems. Simply by connecting the bun vac to the mind manipulation o-matic, we can brainwash the bunnies. Rabbit rehabilitation. Once cured of their antisocial veg-ravaging behavior, the rabbits can be safely released without fear of reoffending. Just a little added lunar power to enhance the mind waves. And we can begin. Veg bad. Veg bad. Veg bad. Say no to carrots, cabbage, and cauliflower.
That's the splendid 84-year-old Peter Salas as Wallace, and the music of Julian Nott and three other composers is a wonderful pastiche. I hear echoes of the British light music genre, especially popular in the 50s, with the witty addition of Spielbergian choirs. Later, there are thunderous passages that would not be out of place in a Hammer horror film. For Wallace's Frankensteinian endeavors end up producing the most fearsome rabbit since Monty Python and the Holy Grail, requiring Gromit to bail him out of a more cataclysmic mess than ever before. This is the best ever blend of horror and comedy, leaving contenders like Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein in the dust. Oh, the puns are cheesy, but only in the sense that cheese-loving Wallace reads East of Edom and Waiting for Gouda. The claymation is the best of both worlds, the hand-fashioned and the computerized. Peter Jackson will be lucky to have anything as thrilling in his upcoming King Kong as the revelation of the giant were-rabbit in pieces as Gromit gives chase in an automobile while the beast devours one garden after another. Even then, Jackson won't have Gromit with that deadpan young old face that sees all but interferes when only absolutely necessary, because he must love the notion, too, that there'll always be an England. The one lucky break about that warehouse fire? None of the newer Wallace and Gromit models or anything from Curse of the Were-Rabbit was there. Hail Britannia! Wallace and Gromit live.
David Edelstein is film critic for Slate.